I want to bring up Mark Ward, one of my best friends from high school, and he's going to bring the message this morning. So give him a big hand clap this morning.
Amen.
Bring it.
Thank you. I didn't know I'd call you pastor. That wasn't what I thought would happen. I hope this mic stays and doesn't cut like that, hopefully. Pastor was talking about Toby and talking about Clark. We're all going to talk about Tobe today since he's here. And Clark, but Tobe, just so you know, the bus rides to the state tournament are a little different today than they were back 30-some years ago.
Amen.
Praise God. I'm glad you're here. We do take it serious because I spend some serious time with God because conviction's a good thing, amen, if you know the Lord. Conviction is what keeps us seeking God and keeps us focused on the good things. Problem is we get confused on what those are. And I believe God wants to show us something powerful today. Taking a new job and coming over and doing new things, I felt a phase in the public eye. In the public, there's torment at times. The world is after... it's after to hide God, if you will. Let me just say it that way. The world doesn't like people to get set free. Woo! And when you get set free, then you step back in and you got to walk. And that's the difficult thing when Pastor talks about being in ministry, but being outside the four walls, it seems like 80 and 90% of the things that I do and I confront and I have to battle in and deal with are not things that come of God. Amen. And those things are pulling and dragging and tearing and wearing, if you will, at times. But that's okay. Amen. We have to, we always got to fuel up. And thank God Pastor Mark gives the opportunity to speak and to preach because it's fuel up time. Pull up at the gas pump when I get to get filled up in God and I get to, and then I have something to give. You ever been around where you're wanting to give and give and give and all of a sudden everybody's just taking? You don't have any more to give. And your tank gets empty. I think God's going to show us all that today. He's going to show us something powerful. I spent time going, God, what is it? Because in this sermon series, we've been talking about trusting God. And Pastor Dusty started it off. He said, uncomfortable trust. Woo! Who's had that before? Who's had to stand in uncomfortable trust? And then who has also found out, though, that on the other side of that, it's good? But sometimes being uncomfortable isn't fun. And the world sure likes to make fun of the sure. The world wants you to hide in shame. Doesn't want you to get set free. There's freedom and there's power in the name of Jesus today. Amen. And I am excited because I prayed to God that there would be a different release of the power of God in this house today. And it's going to well up in me today because I am believing that you're here for a reason. God has a plan for you. And we all leave here changed, starting with me. Amen. What's going to spill over, Pastor, today? And I said, God, I want to be somebody different. When I got into the Word today, I found out I'm free, I'm saved, I know I'm doing good. He goes, Mark, you're still not as free as I want you to be. I'm like, what is that, God? Now I'm not nervous when I get in front of people. Isn't that good enough? I used to just panic and, you know, literally go to the bathroom and just try to hide. Maybe they'd forget I was coming, you know. I'm going, aren't I free enough? God, no, Mark, man, I have so much more for you, but I have a lot for my people today. I want people to know who I truly am, and that means not getting confused by what the world tells you about who I am. God showed me that this week, but here's the deal. He's not just showing me that. I get online. I listen to people. I listen to Pastor Dusty's message. I listen to Mark Schell last week, and what God revealed to me is the same message. We need to truly know who God is so therefore we can rest and reside in the freedom and the power, and the hope, and the glory that God truly wants for us. Because we're missing it. And God said, Mark, I feel like a called one, but I'm a sent one. He's like, God, I don't want to go, though. Sometimes I go, I don't want to go. I go, you want me to really speak it with power and authority today, God? And he said, yes. Let's get set free today, Mark. But he's really, you know, he's trying to set free first? Me. And he's going, I hope he uses what he has on my heart to set people free today. And my prayer is that if you're here today, you leave changed. And you came for a reason. And we're not going to hide today. I'm not going to hide today. I'm going to tell you the truth of what's in my heart, where I've missed it, where I'm trying to find it more, and what God really wants for me. But here's the deal. He's got a destiny and a path for you. and some of you have quit. Ooh, some of you are thinking that you lost it and you don't have it, and you're not going to get it back. You're going to get it back. And I know God's speaking that to my heart. And it's for all of us. You're going to get it back. There is no more doubt or fear. In Jesus' name. But we got to be on his playing ground. You see, as long as we stay on the playing ground of the enemy, it's hard to get set free. Because we cower down in the corner and we're afraid and we're in shame. And we run and we hide. I want to be set free today, brother. And I believe everybody's going to, if you're here today, that guy's got a word. Anyway, okay, so I'm going to step out today and I'm going to go a little deeper. And that's what God asked me to do today. And one thing I never worried about was going to bat. I always wanted to go to bat because I felt like I was the one that could get the hit, Pastor. I'm not afraid to go bat. I'm not afraid to strike out. And sometimes I think, God, why do you use me? He goes, just Mark, just because you got faith. You trust me. I'm like, okay, if that's the only thing I got, Lord, you better show up and help me, because if one thing I'm going to do is step out. I'm going to go to bat, and I'm going to take some swings, and I hope I make contact today. Amen. Okay, let's pray before we get started. Father God, I come to you, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, and the expectation today is that people know you more, but we really know the true, loving God that you are, what you have for us. It's about relationship, God. I pray, Holy Spirit, help me today. And God, just guide me through this word. Guide me through what you have for your people, God, and that we would get set free. God, I humble myself before your mighty hand. And God, that it would all be about you today, God, and you just bring deliverance to us today. You bring redemption today. You help us remember today. We're reminded today of who you are, your goodness and your grace and your mercy that lasts forever. God, I just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, God. And again, I just humble myself to your mighty hand. Be with us today, that we leave here changed, and that your word goes straight to your people's hearts, God, and it is bound and sealed, and life-changing things happen in this house. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor, what I learned when I was doing this, and he does this all the time, God is good. Woo, all the time. And we say that all the time and all the time, God is good. But here's what I'm going to tell you. We forget. When I got into that, we had this little motto, and we just run it around. This is America. We just slap it out there. It's like I said last time I'm preaching. We go to McDonald's, we get our burger, wherever we go eat, and we just want it right now. I get my fix, and I go on down the road. Oh, yeah, we show up on Sunday. God's good. That's right, he is. And we go on down the road, but we're not really living and understanding and walking in the power of that goodness and that complete surrender to the place that a loving God has for us, that we can have peace and joy and love and freedom and hope that just never stops. Wow. And I started seeking, and I go, God, I know you're good, do you, Mark? You didn't last week when we lost in the state finals. You wouldn't think I was very good at that point. I don't want to use that as an example. I'm like, no, I had a moment, God, in my flesh. And I know that's silly. But in truth, it's real to me and a bunch of young boys that I'm coaching. We want good things, and God wants good things. The problem is God's good things and ours aren't always the same. God wants us to have victory, but he also wants us to know where true victory comes from, who he is, and what he's about first. We need to establish that in ourselves and the people around us rather than what America tells you is good. The trophy's not necessarily the biggest thing. We strive for it. I do. You all got trophies. We all want a bigger house. We want a bigger car. We want a better job. We want more money. I want to spend more money. I want to buy more things. And I want to be happier and happier because this stuff's going to make me happy. And anybody that's been in the midst of a real trial, stuff don't matter. And so I have to remind myself of the place that I was to be able to be in the place that I was in, asking God why I didn't win every game, God. God wasn't going to get the glory for that. He can, if it's handled right. God can get the glory for anything, because here's the deal. When he sent his son in redemption of that, when he sent his son to die for me, I was purchased and bought back, and so were you. And if you're saved today, the point of this is very, very important. You will never get the glory for salvation. He will. He will redeem you and restore you. But if you're looking for the credit for that as if it has something to do with you, you're missing the point. He sent his son, and his son will get all the glory in Jesus' name in my life. And when I speak that, I feel the power of the Holy Spirit come into me, because now I'm in right standing with God. And I can humble myself before His mighty hand. And the things that I do and say and speak and touch can make a difference in someone else's life, because I found the goodness. Thank God I got in the car with Pastor Mark that day and something freaked me out, Pastor. I'm just going to say it. I'm like, Pastor Mark's in here and I don't know who he is anymore. Woo! Hey, guess what, Pastor? Now I know. Yeah, I know what freedom is. I know what it is. God is good. Well, we may just go. I just may just talk and then we'll be done. God is good. It's an appointment for all of us, and we prayed. Pastor Dusty talked about uncomfortable trust. Pastor Mark Schell talked about the science of prayer, praying in the Spirit. I did a lot of that last couple of days. I'll tell you what, too, in the shower this morning, God, you better show up. And I'm sitting there thinking. I'm intellectually studying the Word. I'm in my mind. I'm worshiping. My gosh, when I get into praise and worship, guys, that's when I start finding God, like we're doing this morning. Man, that sets you free. Who got set free this morning? Who could feel yourself? Here's what God asked me to ask you. Who could feel yourself slip over to your spirit man instead of your flesh man and feel empowered during worship today and feel different? Spirit, soul, and mind. See, my spirit's going to have to look over at my soul and tell me, see, you're not acting right. Woo! And that's why I love to worship. Anyway, I'm in the shower this morning. And I'm going to follow up on what Pastor Mark Schell. So I'm praying in the Spirit, and all of a sudden I just felt this bubble come around me. And all it is just me surrendering. Just, God, I don't know what to say. I'm just going to sit here, and I'm out, okay? And I was like, I need your help. All it is complete surrender. What I felt like this bubble come around me, and he goes, the enemy don't know what you're saying now, Mark, but I do, and I got your back. So when I pray in the Spirit, I'm like, God, I'm glad because I finally surrendered and I quit trying to figure it out myself. And here's the deal. When you live in America, America's going to tell you how to figure it out and tell you how good it can be and tell you what it is. And 99% of the time, they're leading you down a path of destruction and shame to keep you from getting set free. You walk in it every day, and God said, tell my people to who I am so they can get in a position with me daily in their worship, in their prayer life, so they can get set free, and they can maintain that position and not forget. Whew, how many of us forget? I stand before you today completely redeemed and restored all by the blood of God and His hand in my life. And last weekend, I was forgetting. God, I'm supposed to win every game. Everybody's supposed to be healthy and whole. Right? Boy, how quick we forget. We're going to get into that. Okay, weapons of warfare. The Word, prayer, praying in the Spirit, praise and worship. Today, not only is He going to bring us a great word, He's also going to help us understand that praise and worship will set you free. It's a tool. And the reason I brought that up right now after praise and worship was that so when you leave here, you go, you know, when I worship God, I feel something change in my life when I get set free. How many times don't want to worship because you're just mad? No, I'm not going to listen to worship music. You ever talk to yourself like that? I don't want to, God, because I'm in a bad mood, and I'll just listen to something else. Have we ever done that? I mean, I've done that at times. I want to get up and worship you again today, God. I want to praise you. Got beat 6-3, but I'm going to praise you, Lord. I don't feel like it today. I'm just using baseball as an analogy. We got way bigger problems than that, but people get it. What have you done for me lately, God? It's not enough. If it doesn't come out every day, God, you're not a good God. Wrong. God is good all the time. He does not change. I am the Lord thy God. I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed. That's in the book of Malachi. Here's the deal. If God could change and there was no steady foundation of truth and love based on exactly who He is, then we would all be able to be consumed. I love that word. Therefore, you are not consumed. Children of mine. See what I'm saying? I know I'm not. So no matter how far I steer and tell God He's wrong, because He can't change, I've got a promise. And that's the hope of eternal glory. Amen? And I'm saved today, and I know that. So we move into that. Okay, we'll get into the scripture. And I said, God, where are we going with this? And Pastor Mark, I sent him some scriptures, and I'm like, no, here's where I think I'm going, Pastor, because I got to go to my pastor and say, it's just accountability. I need him to speak into my life. I speak in other people's lives, and there's other people that have me speak in their lives. We need relationship. I need Pastor Mark. I need covering. I need to know that where we're going is going to be good. So I got into the simple scripture, and I started researching online and doing a lot of study, and he gave me Psalms 103. So we're going to put that up here. If you've never gone to this, God's going to show us an amazing thing. If you notice, we did that song today on purpose. And I'm going to read this to you. This entire scripture in this passage, let me develop 12 pages of notes that we won't use. I just over-prepare, and then I just let God lead us. But there's actually five scriptures that I use in this deal, and then I was going to trust the Holy Spirit to lead me today. That's what I'm feeling like he wants to do. So this is David, okay, and he wrote the book of Psalm, and he wrote all these psalms. And if you'll notice, if you go back to David, he's constantly praising and worshiping God. That's who he is. He's got his harp. He runs and praises and worships God. But he also, most of his life, is a complete failure. But he's not either, because he's seeking God in the right place. He understands his conviction and his failure, and he's constantly after God. And the Bible tells us that David is after my own heart. Whoever's failed in here, understand, David probably failed worse than you did. I'm going to go ahead and say it right now. Multiple times. It's not a license to sin. We're going to get into what Jesus has to say about the new covenant too, because David's Old Testament. So we're going to read this. And I never read it this way, so I'm hoping you get this. It just jumped out at me, and it's a powerful, powerful deal. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Just saying it, I can feel the power in that. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities or sin, who heals all your diseases. I'm going to have her go down. Who redeems your life from destruction, from crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You get in there and you worship God, I feel youthful and alive. There's so many things that happen to this. So I'm going to have Carrie go back up to the start of that. And here's what I've learned by this. David is asking us, I'm going to read it to you. David is commanding his emotions, his mind and his will to come into alignment with who God is. It's not just lyrics to a song. And it's not just something that we say, bless the Lord, oh my soul. What's that mean? No, he's saying, he's talking to his soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not, God, what you've already done for me. We have to remind ourselves of that. So David is crying out, and everywhere I look, the most powerful revelation, if you will, of that I find in the Bible of somebody just desperately crying out to God. There's a lot of them, but this one, it has the complete work in it that God wants to deliver to people that are in struggle. Okay, this is it, guys. And if you want to look at it, 107 is really good too, Psalm 107. Okay, so bless the Lord, O my soul. David is commanding. How many times have we sat there and went, bless the Lord, my soul. Bless him. Worship him. And I'm talking to myself because my flesh doesn't want to right now. But my spirit man that's inside of me that God put in each and every one of us is commanding and asking David here, I want to be like David. When it gets rough, I'm constantly going, bless the Lord, O my soul, and worship his holy name. Because in that, there's power that defeats any part of the enemy and anything that I face in my life. Okay? So we're going to go a little further now in what David says. When we have a need, do we approach God without first reminding ourselves of who he is? Hey, God, I need this. Fly by prayer. Mom and Dad, I need this. Can't buy that right now, son. You don't need it. Go to Walmart. We learned that as a kid. I feel like sometimes we treat God that way. I'm in TG and Y with my mom. I need a toy. We don't need a toy today. You know, and it's funny, but we go to God. We train ourselves that, and we go to the Lord, and we say, Lord, I need this right here because of these reasons, and we just slap a prayer out there that our trained mind and our flesh, is our whole lives, just goes, if it doesn't work out, God didn't want me to have it. Because God's not good. Wrong. Okay, so we're going to see what else David says. Forget not all his benefits. Forget not. David tells his soul, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not all his benefits in Hebrews, Pastor. I looked it up. means don't forget his benefits. Exactly the same thing. You can look it up in any way. Just don't forget his benefits and what he has for you. God's benefits in bullet points, I'm going to give them to you. It comes from this psalm. God forgives all your sins. God heals all your diseases. God redeems your life from the pit. God crowns you with love and compassion. God satisfies your desires with good things. God restores your youth. God is good. Forget not. How many's forgot the things in your life? Pause for a moment and look back. How many times was God right there taking care of you and the things that really mattered? How many times has he brought you back to a place and our people, the will of us, we forget? See, the will is the greatest thing God created. I researched it. Your own personal will. Why did God make us have our own will? Because he truly wants a relationship with you that is your choice in will to have a relationship with God and climb up in his lap as a good father and say, I want you, Lord. He gave us the choice. It's the greatest thing you have is your will. But it's also a thing that says, I'm mad at you, God. You didn't do what I asked you to do the way I wanted it done. So therefore, you're punishing me, God, or you're trying to teach me a lesson. Wrong. God is good all the time. And if we're going to keep saying it, we have to truly find out who he is and what that means. And we got to understand that if it's bad, I'm going to get to it in a minute, it didn't come from God. Okay? All right, so again, verse 2, forget not. The reason he says don't forget is because he knows that we'll have plenty of opportunities to forget. The human heart is forgetful. Ask my wife, I can forget. Ask your partner. The human heart is forgetful. Forget not, Pastor, appears 200 times in the King James Bible. I think it's important. Forget not. Example of forgetting. I'm going to give you one. We think our forgetting of God is bad. I want to go back. Y'all know the story of Moses. Okay, he leads the people out of Egypt. Okay, how many times does God perform miracles for the people? Okay, and then they get up there and they start complaining. Once they get comfortable, here's the problem. America wants to make you comfortable. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. There's a push around America for everybody to take care of you so you don't have your struggles to get to the place that God can do something in your life. Because we want to sugarcoat it and make it so easy that we don't have any trials. Because let me tell you something. In the trial and in the tragedy is a place you're going to find God. It's the place that you're going to transform. And everything around you that tries to make it easy for you in your life is going to put you in a place that you forget and you're comfortable and you won't look for God. So when you walk out of these doors and you see what's happening in the world, all I need to tell you, because you're smart enough to figure it out, there's a situation that's trying to get it all taken care of for you, but not by God. Because here's the deal. I will promise you this. The only reason I am set free and stand before you today, thank God, even in the midst of my sin that he covers the rest of my life, is the fact that my trial is what brought me to my redemption and my restoration. Am I knowing who God was? And it was bad at times. And you all have dealt with bad things, and you're going to deal with some things in your life. I don't wish it upon you. But thank God the Word tells us that Jesus said, I have overcome the world. 10,000 years when we sing in that song, I get to stand in the presence of the glory of God for eternity. I get to pass it down to my children and my children's children. It gets to go out, and hopefully it goes down to other people's lives, people that won't even know me. I can start a new thing that when my wife and I are gone, the third and the fourth generation are still holding on to the promise that God gave to me in Jesus' name. And you know what? They're not even going to know their great-grandpa, but they're going to know their father because we've started over, run a reboot. The reboot's okay, but I needed my tragedy. I know it's a tough subject. I know it's hard, but God is still good all the time, and everybody that's here needs to hear that. Okay, in Exodus, I'm going to read Exodus 16:3, and the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. We're getting comfortable, Pastor. You know, the children of Israel had forgotten their bondage and blamed God even after the miracles they had witnessed from God. Okay, so I'm going to read on. Here's a commentary. I want you to listen to this. I found this online. How quickly the Israelites had forgotten the truth of their experience in Egypt. God sent Moses out as their deliverer in response to their own groaning, who's been groaning and crying out. I have. Knowing I was wrong at times, too, with my approach to God. Out of him because of the pain of their bondage, yet just a few short years later, they somehow remembered their collective past as one of relative comfort. Just take us back to Egypt, God. We had some bread there. Do they really want to go back to Egypt, guys? Do you really want to go back to that? You know, the junk in your life? And see, that's what happened. Here's how quickly we forget. God just goes, Mark, my people just keep forgetting. They don't spend enough time with me. They don't get in the Word with me. They don't pray to me. They don't worship God. I'm going to tell you, that just to give you a testimony, for my life, it was hard for me to get to Bible studies all the time. I wasn't a good reader and just reading the Word. I got my sword out. I needed to go Wednesday to Sunday because I'm getting dirty by Wednesday. I need Wednesday service too. I mean, I needed something to pass me through, okay? So I'm getting the Word and getting the Word, and I got better at that. Then I got to praying. And then, man, I broke through one day and said, I'm going to pray with my wife. And then I'm going to, I don't know what to pray, but I'm going to pray with her anyway. I started praying with my wife only because of the tragedy, and I needed God bad. I needed help. Two or more gathered together. God is with them. So I needed my wife. That's two. That's enough. So I got into this prayer life. And you know what God did with me? Elevated me, brought worship out of me. Now I praise God and find God through worship. And my life continues to expand in a way. I'm just giving you a testimony. He wants us to have all this freedom that all of us are going to fail in at times, but we need to have all his tools and all of his resources so we don't forget. One of my big deals is I go in and I want to listen to music. I still love regular music that we listen to, you know, regular music on the radio and country music and whatever, you know, rock and roll music, you know. If I get over listening to that very long, I'll start forgetting, you know. Then it brings back memories of something I really didn't like about myself. Hard not to listen to that jam and you bring it in, and I feel my spirit man go from here to here. And my flesh man's going, that sounds pretty good right there, and it starts rocking out, you know, and I'm like, no, because there's really good worship music. And in that I get real freedom. I get real freedom. Okay, so I'm gonna going back into this. Again, the Lord cautions the Israelites through Moses, beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt from the house of bondage. Deuteronomy 6:12. Once these wanderings were over and their stomachs were full, and the Lord knew that they had been assailed by the temptation to forget that he alone had made their redemption journey possible and brought them into the land that contained everything they needed for a successful future, they got comfortable. The Hebrew word translated of forget in this passage means to be oblivious of, for want or attention. We get oblivious of something. We forget it because I just want attention. I want attention because we lost the last game. So I'm going to pout. Get back in there. I'm not afraid to just say it. I was pouting. Okay. It wasn't that the Israelites would make a conscious decision to leave God. That wasn't it. Out of their lives. I don't think any of us would do that. I don't think we go, it's rough on me and I'm mad at God and I'm over here and I'm going to make a conscious choice that I don't need you anymore, God. We're not ever going to go to that point. See, it's our comfort. You see what I'm saying? We're mad at God. We want to tell God what's going on. But I don't think any of us would ever go, I don't want to be saved anymore, Lord. You see what I'm getting at? So this comfortability thing is what causes you to forget. And unfortunately, we live in the most comfortable country in the world. And probably the most comfortable town in the most comfortable county of the most comfortable state of the most comfortable country in the world. And I've thought of that myself. You'd be born anywhere. We're probably smack dab in the middle of it right here. I wouldn't be anywhere else. We don't understand how blessed we are. But in that comfort, we must be careful, okay? Because we start to lose who we are. Woo, they wouldn't leave. But as they became established and successful, here we all are, I'm successful, they would become increasingly self-sufficient. Their memories of God and all that he had done for them would slowly fade and be replaced with prideful confidence in themselves. We made the state finals. I'm a really good coach. I'm just parabling here for all of you who got other things. I made it to this. I'm really comfortable. Look what I did. And this prideful position begins to get us in a place that we start to take credit for. I don't feel like I did that. I'm not trying to make that analogy. I'm using that as an example of how that can happen, that we start to go, man, I'm really good at this, God. You helped me all the way here. You did everything to get me in this spot. Now I don't need you anymore, God. It's mine. All of us have been in places like that. And you know what happens most of the time? When we're in the bad spot, it's our fault. Because God is good. So when we lose him and we get over there in the wrong spot, you know what that is? That's not of God. That leads us into a place of destruction. That's of an enemy, and that's of us. Okay? So I want to make that clear. I really believe that's the decline of in Christianity. Pastor, when I was reading this, I was going, the comfortableness of God's people, every time it gets a little more comfortable. And the control of mankind, the control of, and I'm just going to say this, the government control of people throughout history, the people all the way back through all the Bible times, if they could control all the people and the church and all this, these people can all be prideful and get whatever they want. They can take whatever they want, and the people are subject to them. But when it was bad on these people, they could go around that and find God. In fact, when Jesus came and started setting people free, it freaked everybody out. The people were like, what is going on? In every instance, I believe if Jesus came back today to America, the same thing would happen. Whew. Who's your source? And we got to hold on to the fact. Listen, church, God wants you to hear this. We got to hold on to the fact that Jesus Christ is our source. And we have to be the type of people that are in him, that when I go through the trial and the fire, I still stand, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And that other people will know that I'm at peace with my God in my biggest trials. Do you know how to do that? Worship him and bless him and be engaged in this relationship with Jesus when it's not a trial. I started seeking God every day with my wife and praying every day no matter what. And when the trial came, it sure was a whole lot easier to go through it because my focus could stay on what it needed to be focused on, which was God. But the more we go out in the world and the world starts telling you all these good things about yourself, pride of life, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Isn't that what it is, Pastor, in the Old Testament? And we start to see those things, and they look good. I'm going to chase those things. Well, God, why didn't you give me that? And you could have given me a house twice as big as the one I got now. Lord, you just don't like me anymore. You don't want me to have it. Wrong. This is all misconception. This is all taking God out of context and putting him in the wrong place. And I'm going to get into that. How many times do we forget the good and remember the bad? I remember the bad right now. It's all I can think about. Wow. You know, when it's in your face, when the bad's in your face, you forget every blessing, isn't it? All you focus on, that's our flesh. That's not of God either. That wasn't his plan for us. That's the eternal separation that happened in the garden when Eve selected the wrong thing. But here's the deal. If you're saved, you don't have to live like that. You can be saved and be living like the world because salvation's a free gift. But by choice, I can start walking out the plan of God in my life and I can be in the Lord's camp and I can have peace, hope, joy, love, all the things that God has for me. And they can resonate around me all the time, even if it doesn't go well. And that's when people look, you ever notice that people, you look at some people and you go, man, they are always happy. They got joy all the time. Usually pastors, I have been in the presence. Pastor Mark's such a good friend. I'm sure Pastor Mark gets this too because I've been in places and Pastor Jimmy Evans and people walk in the room and I've seen men that the glory of God and how close they are, when they walk in the room, you just go, whoa. And it's not charisma. It's God in their life shining through. And they've been through, whoo, you talk about some pastors going through some terrible trials. I don't even want to go there. it can be difficult. Here's what psychologists say. Let's go over into science now, because we all want to be smart about this. Today, psychologists confirm what God made clear a millennial ago, that it is human nature to forget, or for our minds to tweak the facts and create a false memory that helps us deal with a difficult past. Worse yet, they tell us most people have a tendency to remember the bad and forget the good. Wow. I have to stop right now. You know what I do when I start feeling that way? Count my blessings, thinking about my wife, my children. Wow, the things that we do. I get up here and worship, and I feel Parker back here playing the drums and Luke, and I'm just using that as a testimony. And I know my life, and Grace is coming back from gymnastics, and just our life. Well, the rest of the stuff just doesn't matter. And it's going to say, it doesn't matter if I can't pay my bills on Monday or anything else that matters. When I start counting my blessings, count your many blessings one by one. Sounds like church 101. That's Bible school, isn't it? We do that. The more spoiled we are in America, the easier it is to forget and blame God for something that is not God's fault or even a part of his nature. All right. Okay, example, Mark 15:39. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Whew. In the biggest trial of Jesus at the cross, somebody else gained the revelation that he was God. And it happens here in the midst of the biggest tragedy that Christ would ever go through, that people have been set free from to still to today. And the man was looking up and said, "That's the Son of God." And God, you know, I'm like, you mean if I win state, it's not easier? I'm just a parable one. If I win state, it's easier to say, "God, you help me win state." It's not my nature, Mark. You can win state. I hope that you do. But the difference is there's young men that need to see how Mark Wood reacts when you don't win state. That can be husbands and fathers someday. And they need to see the glory of God in the good and in the bad. So when I asked God for my answer, that was it. Breaks your heart. Because the world doesn't want that. What the world wants is the pride of life, and lust of the eyes, and lust of the flesh. It doesn't want life change and freedom for young men, young women. And we're the vessel. We are the branches. Jesus is the vine. And all it takes is that one touch of the Holy Spirit and God, and life-changing things can happen. But we got to get better. We may need to change our friends. God has me preach that all the time. We may need to change the influence around us so that we can stay focused on God and not forget. Man, we could stop right there, really. Okay, I'll go through. There's one part I know that God really... I don't even know. He forgives all of our sins. I have to go into this, okay? Whew. Verse 3, who forgives all my iniquities and sins, who heals all my diseases? David tells his soul his life was loaded with mistakes, yet he reminded himself that no sin was beyond real repentance and real forgiveness. David made all these incredible mistakes. I'll go through a few of them, but... I love 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. David is confessing his sin and praising God all the time. He is a man after God's own heart. David committed murder, committed adultery, saw terrible tragedies with his children. And the whole time, you know what David did know? I can't live that way. So even if when I make a mistake and it's not a license to sin, David was constantly running back and just saying, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul, that God, you'll forgive me because I know you're a good God and I know you love me and I'm going to stay right here till it fixes itself. I'm going to stay as righteous as I can before you, God." That was what David would do. Wow. Okay, Acts 13:22. I want us to read this. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will." See, God was looking for someone after his heart that was in a relationship that would do the will of God, regardless of how big of a failure he was at times. He was looking at David's heart. He was looking for a relationship with someone that would still serve him and turn to him in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of his own mistakes and his own failure and his own family falling apart. And all the things that he did, David just kept saying, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul." Wow. And when I read that, I thought, we all need to hear that. We all need to hear that in the midst of tragedy, there's a plan. God isn't looking for a perfect man. I wrote this. But one like David that he has a relationship with, and a man that seeks God in all things and trusts him, even when things don't go well. Here's what David, in 2 Samuel 22:24-26. I have been blameless before him and have kept myself from sin. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his sight. To the faithful you show yourself faithful, and to the blameless you show yourself blameless. So he's under the law here. I'm going to be as righteous as I can, and God's blessing was following that because I'm not sinning, God, I'm not sinning. That's that terrible thing that we deal with that Jesus set us free from. You see what I'm saying? Because we have a better covenant with Christ today, and we're going to talk about that. I have a better covenant. The lepers back in the day are afflicted, and anybody touched the lepers, they become affected too. What any way to fix that? When Jesus touched the leper, they become set free, and they became clean because it's a better covenant. Because Jesus will clean us inside and out. He's going to transform me, and he's going to transform you. That's what he's here for. That's who Jesus is, okay? He wants us to transform. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead so I can get through and get to the end. Heals all your diseases. Okay. That will make this real simple. You guys can participate if you'd like. God is. Devil is. God is. Okay. Cancer is. Where does cancer come from? Simple. 101. We're done. Okay, the reason I want to say that, because it's silly, because that's what we do. God wanted me to have this affliction. God wants me to take any affliction that comes upon me and just go, well, that's just what God wants for me. That's just what God has for me. That's what's wrong with the church. There's your revelation that God gave me through all of this, seeking all of this out. We take something, we package it, and we make it holy, and we turn around and act like that it's God. That God's will for me is to have a disease and to be sick because he wants to teach me a lesson. Woo! Let's go one more time. God? Devil? Yeah. Tragedy? Devil. Not working? Devil. How do we attack that? Get in the Word. Powers and principalities, it's not people either. We don't fight against flesh and blood. You don't fight against people that are in spiritual warfare just like you are. The enemy is making them your enemy. We fight against powers and principalities in the heavenly places that are using people to destroy and hurt other people the same way that the Holy Spirit inside of me can set people free. You see what I'm saying? So when we go out into life, we're A or B. How many of us run around and stir up the enemy with all the people around us trying to make their life feel my pain and make it feel worse? You see what I'm saying? When in reality, even in the midst of my trials, I know people that are going through terrible trials that are just running around setting other people free. And it's such a powerful testimony. That's who I want to be. I'm not that guy all the time. Cancer doesn't come from God. Okay? I'm going to read this because I put must read. When I do this, I have mark notes. Must read. We have adopted a mindset that is opposite of God and call it spiritual. That sickness and disease are put on us by God to teach us something. To attribute to God the very work of the devil is blasphemy. And we're all doing it. God showed me that. All of America. All the people all around the world are attributing something that is of the devil as of God. And you think that won't stop the goodness and the complete work of God in your life right in its tracks? If we're blaming God for something that he can't even be, it's not even in his nature, but we package this up. I'm going to read this. I believe this is what's wrong with the church and what's wrong in America. The theology of the masses tells us that we tried and there was no answer, so it must be God's will for my life. It's not God's will. And then you go, well, but then why then, Mark? Why? I don't know. Why do I have an affliction? Why do I don't know. I do know there's twice in the Bible where we had to go back, where Jesus, I think, Pastor Mark, you preached on this with a blind man. He puts the mud in the guy's eyes, and he sees trees, and then he goes back, and then he sees for real. And we talked about that. I think there's many messages in that, but it was the perseverance of the person that goes, I can't see yet. You know what he wants from you? Perseverance. So we don't forget. Woo! if I keep seeking God in it, Matthew 6:33, and I always ask the question, and no one gives. I never look at anybody's face when I ask this, and I can't look at myself, and I feel in my heart that they can give me a yes answer to this. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." And I ask the question, how many people can truly say that they seek God first? And my spirit man doesn't give me an answer for most of the people that I'm talking to, including myself. Amen? But you know what I want to do? I want to try. It doesn't take much. Do you notice I just take a little step? God's met me every time. You know what I needed, though, was to preach this week. God knew that because there was something in my heart I needed to get rid of because I was making God out to be bad. He doesn't love me enough to let me win every game I coach. Isn't that silly? I know it's just a parable. It's not that big a deal. It's not compared to life and death situations. But for me in that moment and young men going out and battling every day, it was real. And we failed. But it wasn't God's fault. In fact, God's going to do a more powerful work because we didn't win. You know, when Jesus went to the cross, the enemy is like, I've got you now. I think about this. And Jesus went to the cross. 1,000 angels could have come down. He could have got down off there. And he could have got the victory that way. No. But on the third day when he rose again, whew, you talk about the power of God changing lives. Because the third day changed everything. Because we serve a risen Savior, thank God, in Jesus' name. And my salvation is a free gift. And I don't want to, and I can't give it back. I'm eternally saved because I know I'm saved. As much today as if I die, regardless of how bad yesterday went or how bad I pouted because I didn't get my way. I know it's kind of hard. Is that too hard, Pastor, to say it that way? I want to read Ephesians, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. 2,000 years ago, Jesus paid the price in full. He can't go back and pay it again, and he doesn't need to. He bought something. You go to the store, you buy a television set, you go use it for 4 years. You don't go back to the store and say, hey, I don't want to buy that TV I bought 4 years ago. It's already paid for in full. Jesus does not need to go back to the cross for us anymore. See, when I operate in this doubt, in this fear out of my flesh, man, I'm trying to put Jesus back on the cross again. Jesus, fix it over here. He already fixed it. And when I get in worship, and I get in praise, and I get in prayer with God, and all of a sudden my spirit man comes up and I get over here, I know I'm right under God, under the Spirit of God. And I look at my own self and I go, you fool. And that's what David's doing here. He's talking to his soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Basically, he's telling his soul, I know you don't want to, soul, but we're going to bless the Lord anyway. And I'm going to worship his holy name and praise his holy name. So today when we leave here, we're going to have some new instructions. For me, it was this. How do I find out God, who God really and truly is at a deeper level that I don't forget? What are my weapons that I can use every day? Get it, read my word. Not as good at that as I want to be. Everybody knows when you're reading your word, it's going better. Has anybody ever done that? And then when you're not, you're like, well, why do I have to do that, God? Comfortable, belly's full, things are going fine. I don't need that today. I'll do it tomorrow. Yeah. That's not the relationship that my Lord went to the cross for and bled and died. The blood of Jesus is enough. We sing that song about taking me in. I want to go into the Holy of Holies because the blood of Jesus is enough. He's our Redeemer. We know what that means. I'm not even going to go into that. Power of praise. God did tell me this. Start worshiping God. Tell my people. We went through prayer. We talked about prayer. We talked about what it's like to be uncomfortable. We're learning who God really is, what his nature is for us. He's good all the time. And then we also need to start using the tool of praise, Pastor. We got to start worshiping God if it means all day, every day. And I get up, you know, who always has a song in their head? I do every day. Luke told me one time he's got three. I'm like, I don't want that problem. Because he goes, it really is a problem. I'm like, we'll eliminate that. When he was younger, he's like, I got too many songs. My deal is, I've noticed I've either got a Christian song going in my head or I got a worldly song. We were laughing because Third Day Guy sounds like Travis Tritt. I'll make a joke, but the only song I could think of Travis Tritt was "Here's a Quarter, Call Someone Who Cares." That does not go with the message, Pastor. That's like, that's the total opposite, right? But that stuff starts going, now you guys are going to leave here singing that song. That's not my goal. My goal is, if I'm listening to enough worship music, when the song's going in my head all day, it's raise a hallelujah right now in the presence of my enemies. And you know what the key line in that is? And I texted it out every day when I go out there and I'm coaching my team. Heaven comes to fight for me. And I can say it securely that heaven's going to fight for me because I'm saved. And he's a good God. And he's going to fight for you too. And I love the lyrics of that song because by the blood of Jesus, he set me free. And he didn't send his son to that miserable, brutal death for me not to be there and for him not to have my back when it gets tough. He had David's back every time. And you know what I love about David? I want to finish with this because it's powerful. David stood there in the midst of Goliath and the Philistines over there, and David's a boy, and he walks up and immediately said, "Who is this that defies the armies of the God, of the real one living God?" And you know what they said David did when he got his sword, no armor, nothing? He ran to the battle. Woo! Bless the Lord, oh my soul. He's ready to run to the battle, see, because he's close to God. And guys, God, I got to tell you this too. And you all need to hear this. But I know for a fact, you've been doubting. And God needs to tell you again how much he loves you. And it's a big deal. He loves you so much. And that goes for every one of us here. God goes, "Mark, tell my people right now, Toby loves you." So do I because of that, because we share that bond of love together, brother. In Jesus' name, not because I know you any other than a spiritual man that's in my life. God loves you. And he's got my back for 10,000 years, and he's got yours too. And he's got all of us. All we have to do is trust him. Wow. I'm going to finish with this. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Well, it took tragedy to reveal God to people. Daniel and the lions did. Shadrach, Meshach in the fire, the crossing of the sea in the storm, the Israelites, Red Sea with the army of Egypt bearing down on them, Jesus going to the cross. And we think tragedy doesn't reveal God in our lives? Name me a place in the Bible that it didn't. But there also was an empty tomb. And that's where the last victory took place and the only one we'll ever need. In Jesus' name. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Okay, let's pray. God, I'm going to do this today. Every eye closed and every head bowed, and we're going to pray. And no one looking around today. I just want, there's one thing I feel like God's leading me to do. If I'm speaking to you and you've had a wrong God concept and you heard the Lord speak to you today and you know you want to be close to him, just raise your hand where you're sitting. Just raise your hand. I'm raising mine too. I want to be that close. In Jesus' name. I'm going to lead you in a prayer of salvation today. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to repeat this prayer with me. Pastor Mark does this. We're going to do it today. And I want everybody who is saved to repeat this after me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. I repent of my sins before you this day. I denounce Satan and all of his works. I confess Jesus as the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that you rose from the dead. I am saved. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Today is my God day with the Lord Jesus.
I pray this prayer to the Father. In the name of Jesus, amen. If that's the first time you prayed that prayer, you're saved today. And, you know, I could, but before we go, one more thing. Raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. My plan was we're just going to get up here and worship and go out and worship today. But we're not going to do that. But I do want us to know the first thing I do is that song goes off in my head. In the presence of my enemy, I'm going to sing in the presence of the storm. And heaven's going to fight for me today. Some people doubt that. You've given up on the fact that God is fighting for you. You've been listening to that lie. That's not God. He's going to fight for you. Amen. That's all I got, Pastor. Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Here. Well, now you can't take mine that easy, can you? Let me take this off and hand it.
Amen. No, that was an awesome word. Give Mark another hand clap. And I just want to say I am so proud of Mark and Carrie because they have three beautiful kids and they're all serving Jesus. That's the most important thing in life right there. Luke's up here leading worship. Parker's on the drums. Grace, she's learning to play the guitar. This whole family's musically gifted. And Mark never even knew that. I didn't know it either. It's pretty awesome. But that was a powerful word because we easily forget, don't we, God's blessings. And here's the other. I was sitting here thinking about this is the month that we do harvest time here at Harvest Fellowship Church. Every Sunday there's a different speaker, minister. And I was just sitting here thinking, usually every year we try to do a theme, but this year we just said, you know what, we're just going to do harvest time. But the Holy Spirit's had a theme through this, and it started out with Dusty, with him talking about uncomfortable trust. Then last Sunday, Mark Shell talked about the science of prayer. You know, everybody needs to go back and listen to these online. You can go to hfchurch.com and hear the podcast of it. And then Mark talks about forget not today. And so the Lord is trying to teach us about trust and prayer, and that sometimes when we, like Mark Shell talked about last week, sometimes when we pray, they're hypocritical prayers or heathenistic prayers. You know, that uncomfortable trust, you know, Mark, trusting things when you don't understand, the title of his message, Forget Not. I think the Holy Spirit has a theme, don't you? That he wants us to trust him no matter what, no matter what's going on. We got to trust him. And so it's good to see everybody. Good to see Toby this morning and his family all the way. We got somebody from Alabama in Leedy today, in Leedy, America. You guys be sure and get your free gift back there. And I'm going to go ahead and dismiss, so let's all stand up, and I'm going to speak a blessing over you this morning. I'm going to have Mark, you and Carrie get back there, and you're going to be Pastor Mark and Jada this morning. Greet everybody. Amen. Because I know people are going to want to talk to Mark about that message. That was a powerful word. All right, I'm going to bless you guys. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. You're dismissed. Have a blessed week. We'll see you next Sunday. We're going to have some water baptisms next Sunday and a baby dedication. Mr. Jerick Lee Page will be getting dedicated by his poppy next Sunday. So you guys have a blessed week.
Just as Goliath pointed his sword at David, the sword Goliath pointed at David, he just began to sing. I raise a hallelujah in the presence. I raise a heart.